that didn't jump at all when you talked.
The Thursday before the storm.
They can hear me.
Oh, they can?
Yeah, you just gotta project your voice.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, so Flight Fest starts on Thursday this week, and we're at Thursday of the previous week. Which, I don't know, I feel strangely calm about it. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But
don't ask my wife how she feels.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Like, no, I didn't say there was a good reason why I felt calm about it, but...
Yeah. Is it the medication?
Yeah, it must be. Yeah, well, I guess it's officially not our first rodeo, but then again, I think...
Does it freak you out a little bit more? Like, last year, like, we knew how many people pre-registered, but we didn't know how much Beyond was going to show up.
That's true,
but
yeah.
This year, we know how many pre-registered, and we kind of have that formula. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's scary in a wonderful way.
Well, we're a week out, 731 registered pilots.
731.
731 is what we're at this morning.
And last year we were at 360?
At this time, yeah, we were around 400. So, should be interesting. Although I've threatened and begged and whatever else I could think of to get people to pre-register. So, hopefully most of the people that are coming have already pre-registered.
It's going
to
be fun.
Yes.
Bring a poncho.
Yes, bring a poncho. Well, that's the thing, is that, like, the things that, like, I can stress about is, like, not things that, like, I can even really affect. So,
cupcakes.
So, Flight Fest.
Thank you, Norm, for the cupcakes.
So, there's going to be a lot of unique designs flying at Flight Fest. Josh, can you talk a little bit about some of the designs that are going to be flying there?
They're going to be really neat.
That's awesome.
Very descriptive.
It's going to be cool. Let's see. Nerdnik's coming down.
Yep.
And we got to meet up with Nerdnik when we were in San Francisco. And he's going to come down and he's going to lead some builds on the MiG-3 that's going to be our second community release. So if anyone's not familiar, community releases are where community designs an amazing airplane. They allow us to bring it in the store, do build videos, do an episode around it, and then release it, obviously, with the credit going to them.
Wait, what was the first community design?
Well, that's Mr. Dan Spools.
Oh, okay.
Spoolholz.
Hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Yep. So it'll be the... Nerdnik's going to be number two. Dan is going to be the first one, and I'm sure probably 80% of the people listening know the Bloody Baron, which is Dan's design. He even has a mini version now. And that's going to be our first community release. He's going to be in the tent as well. So... We're gonna have the Bloody Baron builds with the Bloody Baron before the video or anything's out. The MiG-3 with builds led by Nerdnik, and then we're gonna also have the FT Explorer, which is gonna be, can I just call it a knockoff Bixler?
Yeah, sure, why not? I don't think anyone from Hockey is listening.
Well, or you could just call it a pusher trainer, which everybody has.
Knockoff Bixler slash Easy Star slash
Sky Surfer slash Skyhawk.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say we're not stealing the pusher trainer idea.
It's nothing new.
There is something new about it, though, because it's reconfigurable. And it's designed, Jake.
What do you mean? They're all reconfigurable. Just hit the ground really hard.
Yeah, you can figure it any way you want.
Jake Marshall's coming down. He's the one that's writing the curriculum and heading up the educational wing of FT Connections coming out soon. So he'll be there answering questions. But the FT Explorer is going to be a major machine used in schools for inquiry and design program. So kids will be able to change out wings, tail, study the effects. It'll be a real heavy hitter for schools. And then let's see, we also have what's right here. I'm gluing the wing together, and it's going to be the FT Sportster. And it looks just like a old Speedster, but has ailerons, and it has like a P40-ish golden era racing look to it, but boy, it flies like a dream.
That is the fastest P40 on Earth.
It is.
P47, you mean?
Yeah, P47. Jug.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, P47. Maybe, I see that.
Okay,
one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you said P40.
P47. Airplanes. Yeah, P47. Not the Curtis P40. But that's going to be out there, and we're going to be paying past the transmitter on all of it.
So there's going to be MiG-3s flying around. Mm-hmm. There's going to be
Bloody Barons.
Bloody Barons flying around. FT Explorers, mm-hmm. which is the pusher trainer.
Yep.
And what's this one?
The FT Sportster.
FT Sportster.
Last year we had the Storch. You brought some Storches.
Yep.
And it was a good learning experience for us because it was a blast passing the transmitter with everybody.
We get that initial hit of feedback.
Yeah.
You can just ask people, like, hey, what do you think? You know, I mean, and you literally have one that's built, dialed in just how you want it. And
Especially with the Explorer and the Sportster, those two haven't been finalized. The Baron and the other one are going to be released probably within a month after Flight Fest. But the Sportster and the other one, I'm really looking for feedback. And you're right. I think probably about 8 different things changed on the plane between Crafty Dan, Ryan Papp. Who else was the people? We gave away quite a few of them
yeah.
for betas.
So it was people would just kind of trickle in their suggestions and their thoughts on it.
And we applied most of them.
Yeah, that's awesome. So there's going to be a lot of unique designs flying around Flight Fest. And there's going to be some really... We're actually going to be doing a lot more FPV than we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, Alex just ordered the banner today for the FPV experience tent. And so what that's going to be is that's basically going to be... basically a tent with TVs in it.
A tent with TVs. And goggles. Don't forget goggles.
Yeah, different kinds of goggles. I think there's some various goggle manufacturers. And Josh is eating a cupcake, so I apologize if there's mouth noises on the podcast. I know that's generally frowned upon. Josh doesn't look like he cares.
I'm in another place right now. You know what? That was a quiet bite.
That was a quiet bite. Yeah.
I timed it perfectly. And he threw it out.
I'll just keep talking until Josh is done.
No, but I'm good now.
Peter keeps sanding.
Yeah, stop making noises. Trying to sand my nuts.
Well, we're podcasting really in a different area.
Yes, we are. We're not using our normal soundboard, which is why the background probably sounds a little noisier than usual.
We're going organic.
It's also because Peter's sanding things in the background. Peter, if you want to go to somewhere else and sand that, you can.
Just sanding my nuts.
Go away. he is, actually. He's.
You can't hear me anyways.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can, actually.
Fine.
Go back to your FPV experience.
Yes, one of the things in the FPV experience tent is going to be it's called Avagant, and it's basically a... it's a head-mounted display that I think that they're going to try to market a little bit for FPV. And it's a unique display with pretty unique technology. Because unlike Fat Sharks and unlike something like Headplay, there's actually no display inside the goggles. There's no screen. Because what it is, it's a projection into your eye.
Wait a minute.
Lies.
Is that legal?
It's a real thing.
Is that like cloning?
Yes, that's exactly like cloning.
What voltage does it run off? Can I double the voltage and will it burn out your retinas?
I don't know. But basically it uses 2 million micromirrors. Yeah.
Can I have some?
Stop eating, Josh. If I can't stand my nuts, you can't eat.
So basically there's 2 million micromirrors that are inside of the goggles, and they project like a DLP projector, basically. It's a newer DLP. This is just my understanding, so I could be wrong on some of this, but...
You better be right.
There's going to be a line out the door for that, and I'll be one of them.
Well, yeah, I think that there's going to be... That's definitely one of many prototype FPV goggles that are going to be in the FPV experience tent, so it'll be really cool for people to come up, get an FPV ride, and also give their feedback to the developers, because these are not 100%. These units aren't shipping yet.
You also have some FPV racing set up, don't you?
Yeah, MultiGP, which is an organization that has been organizing race clubs and races all over the United States, they're going to be coming to Flight Fest, and they're going to be doing a little bit of frequency management. We had some crashes and stuff last year at Flight Fest that I think were probably avoidable.
Yeah.
If we could have just been a little bit, and I think
none of that with Tony against Tony.
Well,
it was just learning.
Oh no, yeah, Tony from Immersion RC helped a ton. We got, I can't imagine where we would have been without him.
Mm-hmm.
But and also we didn't officially have FPV last year. We had the non-commercial
line of sight
obstacle course or whatever we called it. But this year the sign's going to say FPV.
Bad boys.
Yeah, that was just right in the thick of when all that was going on with the FAA and everything. We're just like, okay, we're not going to advertise that we're doing FPV. We'll probably do FPV, but so it didn't help that it was kind of unofficial that we were doing FPV to begin with. MultiGP is going to be helping out with that. They're going to be doing racing from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're going to do different classes. There's going to be a 250 class, I think, a 330 class. There's going to be an open class where you can fly whatever you want,
which I think
which will be really fun.
I think MultiGP has the specs for each class.
Yeah, they have all those details,
and it's pretty. I think it's pretty flexible as far as like 250 isn't 250 only. I think it's like 230 up to 270. Don't quote me on that, but it's a range of specs.
They're doing a really good job. Like you're telling me, I didn't even know a lot of these details, but they're really making an effort. They're not sensationalizing. They're making it repeatable, where people can say, okay, here's the course, and they know exactly what kind of course they need to practice on. Kind of like America's Top Ninja, where they know what kind of obstacles they got to handle and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, basically is what, I talked to Chris, who is the guy there at MultiGP. I talked to him for about 45 minutes, and it sounds like really is what they're wanting to do is protect the portion of FPV that they really enjoy, which is racing, which not everybody enjoys that portion of FPV. Some people just prefer freestyle or long range or whatever. But for that segment of FPV, that's what they really enjoy. So they want to protect it. They want to get away from the videos of, you know, people flying in busy parks and, you know, whipping around and not really paying attention, because it's just going to take one accident to really publicize that. As
I can speak to that. It happens pretty quick.
Yeah, speaking of which, Alex just about lost his thumb not too long ago, but it's looking good now. It's looking looking shiny.
I got to hand it to you. That was a pretty cool experience.
So
that's
gonna be cool. And you know what I like is it's not shutting down, that race is not shutting down the whole flight experience.
Well, it'll shut down FPV just because of frequencies, but everything else will continue to go. But because of that FPV experience tent, if you want to watch some FPV racing, you can go in that tent and we'll have different frequencies tapped into different systems, and so you can watch people race. Because I think that is where some real opportunity lies with FPV racing, is making a little bit more of a spectator sport, where it's actually fun to watch. Because just watching line of sight, somebody that's flying FPV, is two totally different experiences. So
it's a little more boring.
Yes, exactly. So Peter, what do you got there?
Nothing. No one can see anyways.
You better tell them.
What should I say about it?
Well, first of all, it's a VersaCopter.
It's a VersaCopter.
I can talk about that.
Yes.
All right, Josh.
Yeah. Okay, Josh, what is Peter holding?
Yeah.
No, actually, this is Peter's play on the VersaCopter. We got a new frame coming out, like the Anycopter, but it's one step up.
The ElectroHub.
ElectroHub, yes.
What is it? Is it any ElectroHub?
What is it? The Anycopter, ElectroHub, Rotor Bones.
It's a flight test, Rotor Bones, Anycopter, ElectroHub.
There you go. You worked on that marketing skill for a while.
So we simplified, and we just came up with the name, 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be called the VersaCopter. We've referred to it in the past as the Anycopter Pro or the ElectroHub Pro, but it's going to hold 8 different formats of more advanced frames, but all equally balanced. And Peter made a really crazy, wicked Y6 that is going to carry a FLIR camera. And how are you going to use that, Peter?
Pretty much, we're going to play hide and seek with your stuff at Flight Fest. For all of you that crashed in the soybean fields, we're going to see if the FLIR camera can be able to hunt down your machines, because last year, I remember hearing, there's, 5 machines out there or something?
There were.
I'm sure there's at least. So actually, the nice lady, Vicky, that owns some of the adjacent properties, she said that she found several airplanes out there, like just foam airplanes. She's like, I didn't know what to do with them. She's like, I just picked them up and threw them in the tractor. And there was definitely stuff out there. And there's crops out there again this year. Mm-hmm. And so the area that we fly over, there's maybe at most 6-inch tall soybeans. Which, if you have a big white plane, that'd be really hard to lose in 6-inch tall soybeans.
But if you have a race quad.
But if you have a race quad, pretty easy to lose. Yeah. And so we're encouraging people to use Tile or any kind of GPS tracker or voltage alarm or whatever.
Are we going to have Tile available?
We'll have about 50.
About 50?
To sell in
have
the store.
Have you gotten 50?
Sort of.
It's changed my life, you know that.
Well, I've just been ordering, the max you can order is 12, so I just keep ordering 12.
How many do you have right now?
20-some.
You've been holding down
close to 30.
What is Tile for people who don't know?
For people that don't know, Tile is a. I'll link to it in the show notes. It's a Bluetooth locator device. Mm-hmm. It's designed for throwing on your keys. You know, so if you're looking at it's designed for if you know the general vicinity of something you lost, it's designed to help you track it down. So if you know, okay, I remember having my keys somewhere in my house, but I don't remember exactly where.
Track it down with a smartphone, and if multiple people have the app, you can all search for it together. So your copter goes down in a forest, and you see where the forest that it went down in, three of you could go in there and spread out by about 100 feet, and you could probably find it pretty quick.
Yeah, the range of it is, because it's Bluetooth, is 75 to 100 feet is what they say. Which, you know, if you know roughly where you crash in a field, that's a huge help. And basically the Tile emits a really loud beeping sound to help you find it.
First thing you did is give me one for the keys.
Yeah.
And it has changed my life.
We put one on Josh's key ring, you know, for testing purposes.
Yes. We're thinking of putting one on Josh.
Just taping it to his head. We also bomb dropped one out in the field. And like a really tall grass.
Yeah, and you didn't find
it. Which didn't go so well. But
did you ever find it?
Well, it's because I had my phone bound to a different Tile.
Oops.
So we were looking for a Tile that wasn't ours. In theory, you can go out with, if the range is 100 feet, you can go out with 5 people, 5 different apps, and all look for the same Tile. so you can technically have 500 feet visibility. So anyway, hopefully people don't lose too many planes. And
price is like, what, $20?
Yeah, it's $20-$25 for
no
a tile.
Subscriptions,
so. Yeah, that's the nice thing about Bluetooth is there's no GPS subscription. So maybe it's not quite as effective as GPS, but at least there's no monthly or annual subscription.
No, I like that.
Except for dead battery, one thing goes bad. But yeah, it's in our subject.
Well, yeah. Right.
It's Flight Test is going to be, or Flight Fest is going to be special this year. I'm
it
excited.
Is. And not that we want to talk all about Flight Fest, you know, because probably 99% of the people listening aren't going to be coming to Flight Fest, which is totally fine. But I think that Flight Fest isn't...
You sound salty.
Yeah, it's fine, guys, fine. Wait not to come. No, I mean, just for obviously...
High school all over again for me.
Well, if you think about it, even if 3,000 people come to Flight Fest, which is approximately what we...
It's 1%?
That's 1%, you know, of our overall of our audience. So, but anyway, long story short, I think that Flight Fest is a good catalyst to talk about some things that are going on here that are interesting to everybody. One of those things is balsa building. Somebody here has been doing some balsa building.
We've been
lately.
Having some fun.
Yes. Do you want to talk about that at all before Flight Fest?
Or? I actually may have the carcass of it there. I was dreaming that I would get it done by that time. I would say it's like 1 in 1,000 that'll happen.
Yeah, right, with everything else we got going
on. But it's going quick. We, back in the Mariposa/Old Fogey episode, we talked about a really cool program that I'm loving called DevFuse. Mm-hmm. And Profili, I think, is what's called an Italian name. But it's a WinCAD software and a fuselage CAD software. And those are the two hardest things to design in balsa or build up form, because there's a lot of geometry, a lot of things passing through. Took that program, and the new plane coming out, the Sportster, I love that vintage and everything. I love the fat wing planes. I went ahead and blew that up to a 10-footer. So it's a 10-footer with a 34-inch wing cord. And I think the fuselage is every bit of 9.5 feet, too. But it's going to be a 100cc ship. Yeah, originally, we are going to put it on a electric motor.
Yep.
And I got a little carried away with plywood.
Yeah.
And if anyone knows like the story, I think when we talked, I think our second podcast was our favorite crash.
Yeah.
I severely underbuilt a monster that I put a lot of time and money into. So we did that. But the fuselage is all, we can even put it in the show notes if you want.
Well, the fuselage was like, what, 6 pounds or something like that? Or
fuselage is 7.5, 8 pounds now.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Battery box, I put a big battery, or not battery box, a motor mount box.
And that's just framework. That's it's, no cover.
The plane's going to easily be 35 pounds.
Yeah.
Because I got a DLE, or not a DLE, I got a 111cc twin-cylinder motor going on it, swinging a 27-inch prop. And it's that motor, I think, alone weighs 7 pounds.
That's kind of probably going to be a little bit more responsible than putting an electric motor on there.
Yeah.
Hey, they make electrics just as powerful.
A lot cheaper, though, too.
Yeah.
I didn't want to buy the battery for that. So,
too expensive.
We'll have the, and also, I want to show people that they can take a simple foamy, and if they like it, they can take a $70 program, and they can turn it. They don't have to make it a 10-footer.
Yeah.
And they can build out a balsa stringers and keep it super light. They can make it indoor flyer if they want. But they can do it out of... That's Max, by the way. He misses you guys.
Yeah.
but they can take this, and it took maybe about 10 hours to convert everything, and it was fun. It was a real fun process. So you don't have to go extreme, but I want people to fall in love. And Peter, your old boss really tripped my trigger on trying to move forward on that. Mm-hmm. He designed some amazing balsa wood planes.
Yep. Yeah, when we're building those kits in the Balsa Tips episode, we're still working on those, plugging away with them, getting done as time goes on. But wow, so when you see some of those things, if you buy a kit like that, you see, like, when you think about like all the dovetailing he does in that, it's like, it blows my mind too, because he's doing it in 2D CAD when you're doing a three-dimensional thing. he's doing it in two dimensions, and he doesn't have a laser like we, where we can run back there and prototype it, try it out. Mm-hmm. He has to send it over to someone, have them cut it out, and then do all the trial fitting, which completely blows my mind.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want that job, and I will never try to build one of those, because that's just too much. My head would hurt.
He does amazing, but you guys will be able to design, and this program is really cool. So my hope is that not only will it be the release for the Sportster, but it'll also be, I hope, a beginning of a couple simple tip episodes on how to use that and how to take our current designs or any design you want. You can load a 3-view of, sorry, Max is really happy. Must be the mailman. You can take a 3-view of almost any airplane and draw it. Warbirds, civilian, your own design. I think it's going to be a really cool process. And the fuselage built in about 3 hours.
That's awesome. And you've been, so you use the $70 program to stretch things out and to make the airfoil and the ribs and everything how you wanted it.
Yep.
And then you've exported that To a file that the laser cutter can read.
Yes. Yeah, it went from their format, which I don't even know what it begins with. It's a CAD format for sure.
Yeah.
And then you have a simple thing, and it exports right to DXF. And from that point, you can open it with Adobe Illustrator, CAD programs. And I actually take it to that point and get all the formers, everything drawn. And then there's something that either I don't know how to do through the program or that I need to fit and measure after it's built. I simply save that file, and I can go into my other programs. I use CorelDRAW and change it. And it's been a blast. I was planning on electric, so I had the front firewall space for electric. Decided to go gas. I had to build a motor mount box. And I was able to simply draw another box and then take a couple measurements, adjust it through Corel, and it bolted right in.
That's awesome.
So it'll be fun.
And for people that don't have access to a laser cutter or don't have one in their garage, something that's pretty cool that probably a lot of our audience is familiar with is something called Tech Shop, which is basically, for the cost of a gym membership, you get access to laser cutters and 3D printers.
Ready makerspace.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like CNC, welding, you name it. They also do classes on that sort of thing. So I think there's only maybe a dozen locations in the U.S. I think the closest one to us is Pittsburgh. But if that's something to look into anyway. If you're in a major market or in a major city, at least look up Tech Shop and see if that's something that's in your area.
I'm hearing a lot of libraries and a lot of community schools and certain cities are bringing those in as training opportunities. And some libraries, you can go right in there and either sign up but use their 3D printers and their makerspace.
Yeah.
Wait, so cost of a gym membership? What kind of gym membership? Like a Planet Fitness or a real gym membership?
I don't know. Okay. I haven't.
Tell us about your quad.
The closest one is Pittsburgh. So
this is not a quadcopter, Josh. This is a Y-6-o-copter.
Well, there you go.
Talk and they have no idea what it looks like.
I'm going to take a picture of it right now.
Taking a picture of it, too.
Hey, go check out my Instagram at the link that doesn't exist below.
I think the point that that they can't see it is why you would talk about it, I think, is the point.
You're not being very descriptive, Peter.
What's your plans for the Y-6?
Your cams.
Yeah.
Look out for everyone.
One thing we're going to also cover with that big monster is we never done anything on... We've done full-scale smoke systems, but we're going to put a smoke system on the big monster and talk also about... I love gas engines. So we'll talk about gas engines. They come down in price, too.
Awesome. So one of our most recent episodes that came out was the Delta simulator. I didn't even know that you guys did that. How did that come about?
It's an awesome opportunity. I got to thank my wonderful aunt. She runs a consulting firm that does work with Hilton, Delta, things like that. But they're very fascinated with new technology, new media, things like that. So, Alex, you and I last year got to go down and basically do a demo with multi-rotors. I should say you did the demo, I did the teaching. And Alex did a great job flying through this awesome little garden courtyard. And then I let the different GMs from Hilton fly nanos. And we taught them how to fly nanos. This year we took up a notch. We had an FPV nano there, and then Peter came down with me, and we did demonstrations, talked once again about the flight test business model, but also the value of new technology coupled with new media, and building a community around something, and they received it very well. But one of the things that they were going to was the Delta Air Museum, and they were kind enough to say, "Hey, do you wanna come along with us?" And Peter would have killed me if I said no.
Yeah, I would have killed you in short order.
It was really amazing. Getting to see the oldest existing hangar in Atlanta. I dropped my thing. There, better. The oldest existing hangar in Atlanta was really cool. Seeing some key historical planes, like they had the plane that they shot, what was it, Air Force One? That was that one that they had the conference room in now.
The L-1011?
L-1011, yes. So they
Did
had
the Air Force One there? I don't remember, though. They shot quite a few movies in that fuselage.
But it was really cool. And Peter, I heard you did a pretty good job.
I think it was okay. Pretty happy. I mean, the wheels are still on the plane, and it rolled to a stop, so it didn't skid to stop or slam into the ground.
Yeah. It's something cool. And you know what? Can I leave comments on this?
Yeah.
Leave a comment, because one thing I really think would be cool after going to the Dayton Air Museum would be to, and I talked about in the video, is to do like a flight test family field trip. We could have people come out here, but let's face it, we are a little tiny building in the middle of North Canton that you can't really fly out legally anymore. I'd rather have a meetup where we can go through with families and have a fun experience. And Dayton Air Force Museum, right, Pat?
Yeah, right, Pat.
Is incredible. So I think, I don't know if it'd be late this summer or what, maybe right before school, but I think it'd be a fun thing to do a meetup where we can, you know, just bring your families out and let's walk through the museum together.
And afterwards, we can all get Thai food at my mom's restaurant.
Yes, and it is good Thai food.
It's really good.
That would fill it up.
Yeah, it would overrun that restaurant like five times over.
But yeah, special thanks the folks at Hilton Delta and also Bixler. I think Bixler Consulting, I think is what it is. They were awesome. Really, really great people. We had a good time.
That's awesome. So Alex, you're going to be at Flight Fest, right?
Still up in the air.
He's having a baby.
I have some plans, actually.
Well, to be fair, it's potential plans. It's not necessarily plans yet.
No, it's
yet.
Pretty... It's
She's a ticking time bomb.
Pretty definite.
Well, you don't know what time frame, exactly.
It's in the general vicinity. It's actually right in the middle.
When's the due date? The legit due date?
July 10th.
July 10th.
So, right in there.
Well, actually, her and her mom both were talking yesterday about wanting to come out. So, hopefully, there's a good chance that I'll see you guys.
And if you see Lindsay and she has a big belly, she is pregnant. It's not like a gland disorder or anything. Max is trying to make his way through right now.
Go away, Max.
With a
traffic cone on his head.
With a traffic cone. He's been coned pretty badly. So he has a cone on his head and he's been knocking into everything.
He's very depressed today.
He's so sad looking.
Very sad dog.
Both that.
Talk about the t-shirts. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, we just got a ton of new t-shirts in, which actually probably Alex is more qualified to talk about than anybody.
You got to put them on the store, don't you?
Yes. I talked to Jen, and I think we're waiting until after Flight Fest.
Are we?
Yeah, if that's okay. But yeah, we got a couple new t-shirts, so keep an eye out for those on the store. Mm-hmm. If you're coming to Flight Fest, I'm sure you'll see them. Mm-hmm. If you're a volunteer, you get your own special t-shirt. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
It looks cool. Trust me.
Yeah, the new t-shirts were inspired by, I'm sure some people would be familiar with it, but the Flight Test Gremlin poster that some people have gotten. So that's kind of based off of that. And then there's also a unique Flight Fest t-shirt for this year as well. So should be cool. This should be good. We're getting pretty low on a lot of those sizes. So
I think we're flat out on most of them.
Nice.
So we definitely wanted to purge most of the older shirts.
Yeah.
And you know what's really cool? We go to events and we see people wearing the original gray smoothed out Gremlin. It's just crazy.
Throwback shirt.
It's crazy to see that. We have a couple of new releases coming up too that we've been holding off because of the craziness. Obviously, the airplanes we just talked about are all going to get pushed. There's no way we could get things built in time and give good customer service and also fill the need for Flight Fest. So we pushed them for afterwards. Yes, the Shinden's coming out soon, probably maybe with the MiG-3. But we did release the Race Quad Power Pack. And the Versacopter is going to be really what utilizes that the most, but we have a pretty cool Power Pack and setup on the little Anycopter, Electra Hub. And Eric Monroe also had his hands in designing an awesome little rail system that if you look on like the Dragonfly, you'll see a primitive version when we did the release on that. We now have a really smoothed out version that's on the store. And I like it because up until now we just had a plywood battery holder / FPV mount. And this is almost like, you kind of compared it to looking military, like it has a...
Yep. It's almost like a Picatinny rail with all the attachments, like a four-grip Picatinny rail.
Picatinny rail.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're going for.
I've heard that term. I don't really pay attention too much, but I want to attach like a four-grip to this, like an EOTech, like a laser rangefinder and all this cool stuff to this.
So people that are listening that may not know what a rail system is, what
an
is
M203
that?
Grenade launcher.
What does that do?
I'm sure people are familiar with Rex Roth or Maker Beam. It's a miniature Maker Beam that works really happily with M3 screws. And we have hardware and also G10 plates, one for the motor mount, one for the camera, and also one for a video transmitter holder. And the nice thing is that it has these thumb screws that are really easy to move. When you put a big battery on or you switch from a GoPro to a gimbal, the CG changes. Or you say you want a large capacity battery for a long flight time, you got to move things around. This can slide all your gear around so you can balance out your machine. So say you go from a gimbal to a GoPro, you got a weight difference there, you can slide it back. Or maybe you don't want to slide it back, you want to slide it forward, you can stretch it out. So the battery, the board mount, the video transmitter, it's all mounted so it can slide independently. Eric designed a really nice landing gear. You'll see it on the very first Dragonfly. It was made out of wood. It's still wood, but it has G10 pieces, and that can also slide back and forth. And then I'm also releasing, I want to call it the face hugger. What do we call that? The AP...
AP Simple Gear.
I'm happy you know what we called it. So we always think of the names last, but that's the one that kind of makes it look like a facehugger alien thing. So there's two different approaches you can take. They're both phenomenal, and I'm really proud of Eric for all his work he put into the rail system with that. So it's exciting.
So a problem people were having with the Dragonfly is if you want to mount anything underneath it, there wasn't a whole lot of clearance for the landing gear. So that tri-gear that you made and whatever gear it is that Eric's working on, it just allows for a lot more options if you want to put a gimbal under there or a camera under there, or it just gives you a lot more ground clearance.
For the longest time, the only thing we had to carry to battery and FPV gear was David's, and it was really good, but it didn't give you any flexibility. It was only a GoPro. This can go from Mobius, you can have a board camera and a GoPro below it. It can carry the Boscam. There's so many different formats and configurations you can do with it. And it also has little rubber grommets that seated off of the frame a little bit. And I'm terrible with balancing things. No jello. It's isolated through there, and the way the beam kind of takes the shocks out, it's a very smooth format frame. We even sized the frame and also the new VersaCopter to be friendly to a lot of new technology that we've been privy to see, like combo boards and everything coming out in the near future. So even those things will be right bolt on to both the VersaCopter and the rail system. So it's going to be something that'll grow with people, and as attachments are growing and people have more needs for it, they'll be able to put landing gear. Like Peter has an awesome helicopter gear that's mounted right to it, and he can slide it in and out for service. And yeah, it's been about what, 3-4 months in the making.
Yeah, I think I just feel like I just fully understood the rail system. So the big advantage of it is that you can swap out things quickly and easily, but also adjust CG pretty much instantly with whatever you're swapping in and out.
If you talk to Eric, and Eric was really the pioneer of that concept, where he had it was all done out of half-inch booms, wood booms. But if you talk to him, CG is important, balancing your ship. If you have one motor working harder than the others, you're losing top end. You know, when you get to a certain percentage, that motor can't give anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's always running a different RPM. So this, you can actually balance your machine completely, and you can also service it. A lot of people don't have a lot of money, and you could have a complete running FPV gear set and have multiple different machines. And say you have an ESC failure or something, 4 screws, it slides right off and it slides right onto it. Only caveat is it's obviously designed around our products, but I did go out and look at the spacing with a lot of other gimbals, and it should be friendly to future formats. I'll have to get the exact distance that we finally settled on, but it's a friendly dimension to a lot of different planes. If it doesn't bolt right in, it would be very easy to modify it.
So Peter's holding a VersaCopter that's in the Y6 configuration. Mm-hmm. What do you think the most popular configuration will be? You think it'll be the race quad configuration?
I think it'll be the race quad. Yeah, everyone seems to be getting into the race quad. This will go up the huge AP platforms for sure, but the race quad is a blast.
Yeah.
Very, very simple design, and Peter and Alex both got their hands on it and gave some really valuable input. I think it's both of you guys that mentioned about the pinch, having a couple extra holes there so the boom wasn't drilled through, but it was actually pinched. And that's huge. When you crash it and you break a wooden boom, you can instantly just loosen everything with a couple quarter turns, slide it out, slide a new boom back in, and you're flying in minutes. I'm also working, we're going to have carbon fiber tube coming on the store soon, so we'll be able to have these little bracket kits. So once you're comfortable flying and you're done crashing, or you want to step up to carbon fiber, you don't have to get a whole new frame. You can swap it out immediately and have a beautiful tube set up. And it looks, especially with the car body on it, it looks amazing. So.
Yeah, we threw a Traxxas truck car body on it.
It looks so cool. At the end of the day, I want people. I love DIY. I love do it yourself, and I love simple materials. There's a point where people want to continue that experience. They want to take it from 70% where they're comfortable, and they want to keep adding on and tweaking out. It's like what we do to our cars and almost any part of the hobby. We start adding little bells and whistles based on our passions. I want that experience to go with all of our designs too, so people can get in the hobby, they can have a good experience, but there's no reason why they have to scrap their old machine to get something that performs exceptional. And we're even going to have some future like race quad arms that can be stretched out that'll bolt to the bottom, so if someone looks at it, they wouldn't be able to tell whether that was a DIY or something bought off the top shelf of a hobby store or a high-end multi-rotor store. And that's what we want, because people then have the satisfaction saying, I did this myself, and here's how you can do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
How's that for a ramble?
Yeah. That was a decent ramble.
But it's basically, it's a 3-inch by 8-inch rectangle. So I just gave away the secret, didn't I? Yeah. With about 27 holes in it. No.
So all that's to say is that the VersaCopter is a 8-inch by 3-inch rectangle.
If you can cut an 8-inch by 3-inch rectangle and put a whole bunch of holes in it, you can have one too. I mean, we can't be dishonest about that.
It's pretty much a chocolate ice cream bar, really.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
It looks like one of those king size chocolate ice cream bars. It's about as plain as you can go, but it's crazy versatile.
Yeah.
Does have power distribution too. Yep. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Big thank you to Lumineer on that. This is the first product we've partnered with somebody on.
Yeah, we've been wanting to do that for a long time, and this was the first one that just kind of everything kind of fell in place for.
Yeah, so thank you, Tim, for that. We don't have the ability, and a matter of fact, if any of you out there in our community have the ability to draw circuit boards, I'm going to blow up your email, Austin. Contact Austin at. reach out, email us, because we do have some needs. We have a lot of ideas, and we want to keep the DIY-friendly aspect, but we do want to partner with people to be able to make that a reality. But Lumineer really stepped up in an awesome way. And you'll even see on the bottom of the board, it says powered by Lumineer. That's because they put their distribution concept with the Pololo,
yeah. It's some kind of like, it's like a breakout driver board for like 5 volts or 12 volts or whatever you choose. So your input voltage can go up to like a 6S battery, which is 22 volts, but you can always have a 5 volt regulated output too.
That would be for like FPV
gear. Yeah. How you're running your camera.
Yeah, for the FLIR camera, I'm going to have to add one of those boards
on
here
somewhere. Did you put a Pololo in it?
Not in this one yet. I have to integrate that somewhere.
We only have 2 prototype frames. They're getting made right now, and Peter has one. I have one on the race squad, which is really dangerous. I don't know why you guys let me have one. But so it's performing good. You have a big machine, and the rail mount system on that board really stiffens things up. Do you notice that too?
Mm-hmm.
How rigid it gets when you put those in there?
Yeah, that's the favorite part about this, just being able to take everything off. Because like I can slide the FLIR camera is going to be attached to one of these little boards. So I just take the FLIR camera and the side camera assembly off, slap it on the machine, and just keep going too.
Yep. You can even put on the bottom of the rail, you can even have a lower mount. The original Dragonfly, the control board, was dead center, right exactly in the middle. And if I shifted things around, it didn't move, but it was completely protected by the rail. And the rails, you could probably stand on the things, and they wouldn't bend, so they're incredibly rigid. I crashed my race quad. I hit the top of a tree, and it spun from the top of the tree like a frisbee and hit the ground. Nothing was broken. The whole frame was intact. But it hit right on the rail, and everything took the blow. It was beautiful. So I'm excited to see. I don't know how we're going to make a video out. I don't want to be like Hobby King where we're just like promoting our products, but it's exciting. I hope a lot of people get to see the Flight Fest and get their feedback with it.
Well, a lot of the times on the podcast, we're just talking about what we're working on, and lots of times what we're working on is
new products.
Something that's going to go in the store. So
yeah.
When can people expect to see that? Probably like 60, 90 days, something like that?
What's that?
The VersaCopter.
The VersaCopter will hopefully be in under a month.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Literally the second it's out. We're going to use Peter's built one and my built one, and then I'm probably gonna hate to say
don't wreck it over the fireworks show over the weekend.
Yeah, right.
I hope not.
I won't.
Peter likes fireworks and likes filming them from the air. Mm-hmm. We'll probably cut some out of wood if we have to, just to get the frames and the concept there, so we can show different frames. And then also, it can do so many different formats. I don't think we can put it all in one episode, so we'll have some like infographics. Dan Knight, who's helped us with some really amazing projects like the Tough Tilt, is going to be helping to bring that to concept so people can see all the different ones. But my hope is, say you get into race quads and you're like, man, I really want an AP ship, you go ahead and make an AP ship. And man, I really want a Y6, you make it a Y6, and then back to a race quad. And
or is more likely than not, I crashed and smashed this thing up pretty bad.
Yeah.
What can I turn it into that will still fly?
I had 6 motors, now I have 5.
Yeah,
know?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
No, that's true. Peter's making some pretty cool bodies out of foam and Depron too, which I think is exceptional. Peter, I'm proud of you, man. Mm-hmm.
This one came out pretty good. It's probably my cleanest build so far, and I'm actually fairly pleased with it, as long as I don't wreck it.
Don't wreck it.
I don't know what it is about.
Then again, it's going to be carrying like a $1,600 camera, so you're not very likely to buy me another one of those.
You're proud of me, aren't you?
A little bit.
I gave him my card.
With him being as cheap as he normally is.
Yes.
And denying me of all things I needed for flight test.
Oh, there you go. He has it now, so stop complaining. No, it's going to be really cool. And I don't know what it is about the latest software with the Vector. You took this thing up, no tuning, right?
Yeah. Minimal tuning. Actually, this is leftover from the Vector build video, so it's still the same settings from that one copter.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, this is the very first Vector we fooled around with.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the Vector GPS system from Eagle Tree.
Yep. It's updated to the latest firmware, obviously, but yeah. As far as the settings goes, it was using the same ones as the Electro Hub thing over there.
I'm a fanboy of Eagle Tree. I cannot believe what you get for $240.
Yeah.
From the OSD to everything, and it just works. Everything's a pleasure. In 10 minutes, I had it hooked up into a Kraken. And the biggest thing, if you guys ever do anything with airplanes, keep it in airplane mode. Don't turn it into Elevon mode. The thing will do that automatically for you.
In your radio.
In your radio. So just keep everything basic and then change your modes in there. And I'm trying to think of some technical stuff we can talk about because some people want to hear technical stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is kind of weird the way it learns your gyros. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't actually set gyro direction. Like, if you buy a standalone gyro system, you don't only configure your servos to move a certain way when you move the gyro. But the vector's really weird about that. You basically set up your airplane normally as you would stick the receiver in it. Mm-hmm. That way you know left is left, right is right, and so on, and don't worry about the vector. Then you install the vector, and you move the same inputs in the radio, and it learns the servos, too, in the same way. It's kind of neat, but that trick tripped me up a little bit, though, when I was trying to install it in an airplane.
You got to almost shut your brain off on what you used to have to do and the hoops you used to have to jump through, and it's really easy. And I don't want to talk products like crazy, but can we talk about the Grappner for a second?
No, you cannot.
Okay, never mind. Sorry, guys. Can't do it.
GR18L.
Not L. It's a GR18.
Yeah, GR18. Yep.
But the light version does not have this feature. Grappner is coming out, and I think we're supposed to get some soon. It's a combo board. It's their receiver. It looks just like a receiver, but inside is an accelerometer, barometer. Everything you need to fly a multi-rotor in multiple formats. The cool thing is you do not need a computer to hook it up. You literally put in your inputs. There's a very simple manual. If it says Nick, that means pitch. And it's funny because they know enough to say Nick means pitch. I don't know why they just didn't change it Nick to pitch. but you read through it, and through the telemetry link, you actually get to go through, and the thing learns for you. So you go to a setup page, you tell it what kind of configuration you want. In this case, I did a quad on the Electro Hub, and then I went down through it, and there's a learning mode. And what you do is you turn learning mode on, you push your bank to the right, and then wherever orientation you mount your control board, you just tilt it bank right. And once you cross 45 degrees, it unhighlights. Then you go down to nick or pitch, and then you pitch it forward, or push forward, then pitch forward. And after you do roll, pitch, and yaw, thing's done. And we took it out. And
well, when we get those in, we'll probably do a setup video on it, which will probably be very brief. But just to clarify, you didn't have the transmitter or the quad hooked up to a computer.
Correct.
Via the telemetry link, it was learning all those inputs as you did them.
Even PIDs you can adjust. And I haven't adjusted a single PID, and everything's good. You can even set your maximum altitude. Say you don't want to go above 100 feet. It has MZ24s have audible voice link. The 12s, I've done both. They have the earbud, but it'll even warn you, saying, "Hey, you know, maximum altitude reached."
Yeah.
Pretty powerful stuff. So I'm really, really crazy excited about that because it's such a clean setup. You don't have any control boards. You can do everything on the field. I think for race quads, it's going to be a really great solution. And I think Grappner's coming. Their main push with that is coming out with their little race quad, which is a typical 250. Racer, right?
I think it's called the drawing a blank on it. Dang it.
The hot quad.
Hot quad. The name is escaping me for some reason.
It's carbon fiber. It's
I'd say it's classic carbon fiber 250, which is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But it's it's designed to showcase their flight control board / receiver, which we're probably going to be using a lot more of.
Well, and if you think, I think the price point for that is $100, which, oh my gosh, $100 for a control board, I can buy one for $34. But can you buy a 8-channel full-range diversity receiver and a control board with a telemetry link integrated?
Right.
And if you add in the Grappner ESCs, you now have battery voltage monitoring, you now have everything, and everything is plug and play. So, well, I'm impressed.
One thing that we do and we see other people do is people will pay the right money for the right equipment. Mm-hmm. So if they see the value in it, and just like anything in life, I'm willing to pay a little bit more for the one that's recommended, the one that's going to make my life easier. And yeah, just as a kind of a beginner multi-rotor pilot, just out of the box, that thing flew.
You flew it, yeah.
Yeah, that thing flew great. It had a little, just the default settings had a little bit of auto level put in it. And you could tell, like, you know, you could give it full pitch forward, and it wouldn't let you flip, you know, which is kind of cool.
I haven't even bothered turning it off yet. I've been I have woods in my backyard. I've been flying through the woods and having so much fun, so it's kind
of
nice to...
Yeah, it was the best auto level I've ever flown on. Yeah. I'm typically not a fan of auto level.
Well, it felt natural. It felt smooth. Mm-hmm. It didn't jerk back to auto level position. It was very smooth and natural.
You know what it felt like? Was that the Blade Nano?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. Yeah, it really did. Yeah, because that Blade Nano has that real smooth, subtle auto level,
yeah,
which you really need on something that small.
Yeah.
For the 250 size, for me, that was a perfect. And I'm actually flying full acro now, so actually I already knew what full acro felt like as compared to auto level, so I went back to auto level with the Graupner.
Cool thing we did with the Versacopter and that Graupner board is my brother has never flown. He's hovered quads, but he's never ever flown FPV, and he's maybe flown quads two or three times just as a hover. I put the goggles on him and said, go fly it. And he instantly flew it. Then I did the same to my oldest son, Noah. And then I did the same to my youngest son, Michael.
He wasn't just flying it either. He was like chasing Krakens and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
He was rocking it. And then Lee Kackner did the same with Lee. And then everyone, I don't know if you flew it to Austin FPV or not.
Which
but
one?
You,
oh, no, not just FPV.
Line of sight, but my youngest son can you know, shoot through and navigate under trees and just fly it as comfortable as can be. For something about that, it is super soft. I don't think you're going to win any quad racing with it.
Yeah.
I think you got to turn acro off. And one thing I was really humbled with when Manny and Hannes, did I say it right?
Yeah.
Came down to show us the functionality of this and drop one off. They were from California.
Yeah.
They're going to be coming down again, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, well, they'll be down for Flight Fest.
Awesome. I want to shoot an episode with them, hopefully maybe on Thursday, because when we went down there and they showed us the functionality just on the Graupner radios we've been selling, we were blown away with how much stuff we were clueless even existed in that radio. So with this, with their new product, but also especially that receiver, I want to do an episode with them to really kind of unpack it as much as possible because it's a very powerful control board.
Well, this year, Graupner's the gold level sponsor, the highest level sponsor for Flight Fest. And so if you're at Flight Fest, definitely pick their brain, and they're going to be there demoing. They're going to be just have everything out on display, and they love talking about it. So.
Really cool guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, really cool.
And for those of you that won't be at Flight Fest, we will do our best to get a video with them and let them, from their own mouths, describe their own technology. And
we'll do a little bit of probably product showcasing, but also some informational stuff. But for me to be able to just go through simply 7 paragraphs, follow the instructions, it worked perfectly out of the box. That's not something you say too often. I can only think maybe the Vector and this have been the two best experiences, and the NACE 32 is a close third. So I think that's really exceptional.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, also, if you guys see the Graupner guys or High Tech or any of the sponsor guys, just give them a thank you. They are the reason that this is happening this year, or a big part of it. You guys last year with
the
Kickstarter.
Showing up is the biggest reason.
You guys proved it last year with the Kickstarter that it's definitely got a lot of value, and that's the reasons we got sponsors this year to make it happen again. So if you see them, just give them a thanks.
And, you know, it would happen without sponsors, of course, but because of the sponsors, we're able to kind of be fearless about getting some extra amenities and doing an extra build tent and, you know, not being scared, you know, that like, you know, because traditionally events aren't like a huge, hugely profitable endeavor, but sponsors really make it possible to just be a little bit bolder when you're making some of those decisions.
And we can take showers at the event.
More showers and more water.
Shower brought to you by Graupner.
If you go clean, take Graupner. Well, and a cool
hot
thing
shower.
Too is...
Hot shower.
you know that was coming.
That's coming.
Well, one thing I thought was really special is the first year, the community put skin in the game, and they put a lot of skin in the game.
Yeah.
It blew me away. And I was wondering, like, with sponsors, what they would do, and it really warms my heart to see the sponsors are willing to put skin in the game as much as the community. We have something real special here that I think is unique to Flight Test and Flight Test alone. I've never seen the response and support both from sponsors and community, and you need that. And I'm hoping that this gives us the ability to go bigger and bolder, but also more of them. We've talked about Flight Fest West. I mean, I would love to see that be a reality.
Yeah.
We just winked at each other.
No mas.
No, we didn't. We didn't wink at each other.
We unwinked.
We took it back. But no, it's really exciting. But my heart would be to see us be able to come to you guys, because hearing that people are coming from California or Canada or
Japan
here.
You know, Japan, for instance.
I don't. And honestly, guys, I don't care if it's from 3 hours away. You guys are still making a sacrifice in your time, and you only have so much money, you only have so much time, and for you to spend money and time to come to an event, it makes the whole event special. Not because of us knuckleheads sitting here, but just the people connecting, and there's something magical about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So my biggest prayer is for good weather and for enough parking.
Yeah. Both of which are a little out of our control at the moment, so.
Yeah. Very crucial.
Bring a poncho. We do have two build tents this year.
Yeah, we'll have, well, not just two build tents, we have sponsors and stuff, some of the sponsors and vendors will be bringing their own tents, but just out of tents that we've ordered 19 tents.
Yeah.
So we have a city of tents.
So for a square footage total of like, well,
a Walmart.
of a Walmart, basically. Yeah. So.
So our goal is if anything goes bad, it'll have to be careful, but we can all pack into the tents and we can just fly under the tents from one to the other to the
exactly,
other, right?
Right.
Well, there's plenty of dry space, and even if it does rain, we still have plenty of room for everybody to come hang out. We can build, make a bunch of memories. So
it's kind of
rain or shine, it's going to be awesome.
Kind of a cool thing if you think about it. A lot of flying events, when it rains or gets windy or gross, you basically sit in your camper or your tent or you go home, you know. This is just, okay, let's just do something different.
Let's stay dry and honestly, for me, flying events, talking to people and spending time with people is the most is the most memorable part, at least, of it. So
there's going to be some builds going on that are pretty crazy. Peter, you're doing something. Mm-hmm. Am I rambling too much? I feel like I'm just nonstop. I'm not shutting up today.
Josh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Did you drink some coffee or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. I
need some of whatever you're having.
Why?
Stop looking at my coffee.
Why is your coffee bubbly?
Don't worry about that.
Actually, yeah, I think Flight Fest is definitely the best event I've ever been to.
I wonder why.
And saying that, it was I did the least amount of flying at Flight Fest compared to any other event that I've ever been at.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that there's not a ton of flying, because I think at one point we had like over 100 planes in the air. But yeah, whether you're flying or not, or if you're just coming to watch, it's a good time.
Definitely. Well, we kind of flew through the topics that I wanted to cover. Does anybody want to talk about anything?
Max,
you got anything?
He's the most depressed dog right now.
Yeah, I know.
He's having a rough time.
Max is going to be a flight tester.
Yeah, he's having a rough
flight
time.
Fest.
If I had a cone in my head, I'd be sad too.
Yeah. A rough time.
Yeah, it's sad. No, I think we're good. Did we cover, anything new coming down the pike?
I did have one thing I think is worth noting, worth talking about, is a game we've all been playing here around the office.
Ooh.
Which is, I probably have logged about 10 hours on unexpectedly.
Candy Crush?
Candy Crush, that's the one.
I'll murder
GTA.
All
of them.
Oh, yeah, Grand Theft Auto, yes.
FPV Free Rider. You
know. Yes, the game's called FPV Free Rider, and it's a great, great little $5 game. And
actually, our buddies over at BMS Web, Thomas and Paul, they actually did a cool review on it because they've been flying it nonstop, and it's... It's a FPV-based simulator. It's made by a single guy who is just, I believe he's from Sweden.
John from Sweden.
He did an awesome job, and basically it was just so cold over there that he couldn't fly, so he decided to make his own simulator. I guess he's a developer. And it's pretty cool. It's real basic. There's only like five maps. You get to fly one quad. You do get to control like the dynamics of the quad and the environment, so you can even adjust stuff like gravity or your rates and stuff like that.
Camera angle.
So it's an FPVers kind of simulator. But the coolest thing about it is the physics. They're pretty spot on. I mean, it's definitely, you can definitely tell it's a simulator, obviously. But it gives you a really good idea, especially if you've never flown a good FPV quad. A good idea of what it's going to feel like when you're flying. We've all been logging lots of hours. The other cool thing is, too, is it works with almost any kind of controller. If you have a Spectrum with a USB cable, you can use your DX6. Peter's been using his Tyrannus. I've been using just the Real Flight controller. Yeah. Any USB, even like a USB Xbox controller works really, really well. And it doesn't take much of a computer to run it either, which is pretty cool.
I've been using a $10 Amazon USB controller, and it's close enough. You know?
Oh, and the best part is the demo is free, which comes with one map. The full version with five maps is $5.
Yeah.
So $1 a map.
Yeah,
$1 a map. Yeah, so it's really hard to beat as far as just kind of getting a feel for it. And because flying a multi-rotor, FPV, and full acro, like, doing that, like, with a... you know, $500, even like $1,000 mini quad, you know, like that can be a very harrowing experience. But with this, like, even if the, you know, realism ratio isn't 1-to-1, you can try so much stuff that you would never do. You know what I mean?
Muscle memory is so key.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, learning how to work rudder and aileron together.
Yeah, even if the physics aren't 100% the same, you're going to have that muscle memory.
Yeah.
And you're going to correct for the real life experience, you know, so.
Hey, speaking of Tyrannus, Peter.
Yeah, I got Tyrannus. Probably convinced Josh to let me get Tyrannus.
Well, and you guys can get Tyrannuses too, because we have 30 coming.
So. Oh. Everybody gets Tyrannus.
Yeah. Actually, no, I'm kind of curious because so many people fly Tyrannuses and stuff, and Peter, you're really loving the Tyrannus as
well.
Yeah,
I'm liking it a lot.
So, yeah,
we're late to that boat, but it's pretty sweet.
We're gonna beta test and see what the response is. At least give some different things.
Well, I know when they first came out, there were a ton of people asking for content on the Tyrannus. Our conflict back then was why you know, promote a product that's always out of stock? Because when they first came out, they were
hard to get,
hard to find. So now they're a little bit easier to find. They've made some revisions, and Peter seems to like it.
Yep. Hard to use. It has a very steep learning curve, as expected. But once you learn to do it, you can manipulate it. The weird thing about those is many ways to get to the end game with that. I mean, there's like you can do something from one screen or another. It's kind of it's weird.
It's very like a developer's transmitter.
It's an open sourcey thing. Where you learn things to do things certain ways. But once you get used to it, you pretty much can do anything.
I'll be honest, I'm a simple person and I'm simple-minded.
I'm right there with you, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have some users over here.
Simple guys.
Spectrum and Graupner were very easy for me to figure out very quickly. Futaba, I had a hard time. I eventually learned a little bit of it. I don't know how I'll do with Tyrannus, but you know, there are a lot of people that's a good fit for. And our community, man, there are a lot of people that are engineers and designers that love that journey. So
yeah, it's for the type of person that doesn't mind opening up a tab on the internet and doing a little bit of homework to find something. But if you just want to like call tech support immediately when something gets rough with that, I would probably not recommend the Tyrannus.
Have fun,
because you're gonna have to do a little bit of research and some time investment on that.
I'll be honest, I stole Peter's Tyrannus to play FPV Freerider,
and you didn't even know how to.
But I couldn't even figure out how to change the model.
Funny thing is, I haven't really even read the manual on that radio yet. The only thing I looked up is how to bind a receiver, because the binding thing drove me nuts at first. Apparently, you need a jumper to bind one of the receivers. Kind of like
Spectrum, so you can only use Tyrannus receivers with it.
They have modules.
Okay.
So you can do other things with the radio as well. I mean, the funny thing is their receivers they sell are also compatible with some other brands of transmitters like
SLT.
And Futaba.
Mm-hmm. Have you called it the Tyrannosaurus Rex yet?
It's a cool name.
All right. Well, I think on that note,
I hate you.
You know what? This is a testimony to how sleep deprived everybody is.
Yeah, we're a little slap happy, but
we're gonna listen back to this podcast and mean like.
Someone's getting fired.
Yeah, we definitely miss podcasting and want to get back in the groove, and it's going to be a lot easier after Flight Fest, but at least we got this one in.
I'm almost scared to say, give us your feedback and let us know what we can do better on this one.
Actually, this one, don't give us your feedback
give
on,
us
this one.
On this one.
wait till the next one and then give us your feedback.
There you go. But friends, we do appreciate you listening and spending time and giving us the opportunity to talk to you.
Yes, absolutely. And if you listened all the way to the end of this podcast, leave a smiley face in the comments at flighttest.com/podcast, and we'll know at least one person made it to the end. All right, guys, thanks for listening.
Take care.